Speaking with me today about equity, diversity, and inclusion at UNBC is Interim President Dr. Jeffrey Payne. Dr. Payne, thanks so much for taking the time for this today.
My pleasure.
So when did equity, diversity, and inclusion become a focus of research at UNBC? What prompted this shining of light?
Well, I mean, specifically around equity, diversity, and inclusion at UNBC, there have been a number of conversations over the last number of years related to the university community and how we support equity, diversity, and inclusion on campus. Specifically around research, there was a requirement through the tri-agency councils that support funding for research in Canada to have universities that have Canada research chairs look at their action plans in terms of how they support equity, diversity, inclusion in regard to research and specifically the Canada research chairs. So that was a specific ask from them. And obviously, we were happy to do that and needed to do that. If I could expand upon that a little bit, Kate, I would say back in the summer, I sent a sort of an open email to the university community around equity, diversity, and inclusion and the need for confronting racism on campus here at UMBC. And that prompted a number of initiatives broader than the research one that you just mentioned. And I'm happy to discuss those as well.
Yeah, I would love to hear a little bit more about those other initiatives. Because there have been these three engagement sessions, I believe, and the last one happened just on January 20th. So I'm interested to know what those conversations were like leading up to these engagement sessions, but also the conversations that are happening outside of this kind of formal setting.
Sure. Well, better to speak to the formal engagement sessions that are run out of the Office of Research and Dr. Lewis. Maybe I could just say that, you know, those consultations are in response, as I said, to developing the action plan related to research and, mm-hmm. and specifically the Canada research chairs. And so that work continues in terms of ensuring that there is a consultative process. We engage with the university community around that, and that will form that action plan. If I could then expand upon that into sort of the broader realm of equity, diversity, and inclusion at UMBC mm-hmm. and confronting racism, as I said, you know, back in the summer, I sent a letter out to the university community saying, you know, obviously with the events that have been going on, you know, in the United States and for that matter around the world, that, you know, it was important for us to recognize that and confront racism on our campus. And in response to that that email, I received a number of emails back and requests to meet and share stories and share thoughts and share ideas. And following those suite of conversations from all sort of aspects within our university community, students, staff, and faculty, that led me to the decision that we have to, as a university community, do more to confront racism, and we have to ensure that UMBC moves towards being a welcoming and inclusive campus and safe for all. I will say, Kate, you know, that work is aspirational because we're never done. We will never tick a box and say that, you know, everything's perfect. So the work that we have embarked upon, and I can get into that in a second, is really important for us as a university community. And that work also will sort of align with and be supported by the work of the consultations in response to the research aspects that you've already mentioned.
And I'm interested to know what you think are some of the most important areas of focus. Where does UNBC require the most work to, as you say, confront racism?
You know, I think, you know, racism is here at UMBC, and I've heard that. And I think, you know, there's not one area that's more important than the other. We do need a holistic approach to ensuring that UMBC is a safe, welcoming, and inclusive campus, regardless of who we are and from where you come from to our community. And so in terms of the work that began to sort of unpack that, identify, I set out, and I will say, you know, I feel my role as the president is there to support. Obviously, as the president, I do have the resources available to sort of support change, but I really do feel that, you know, I wanted to listen, I wanted to learn, and I wanted to hear from the university community. So we set up a number of concrete next steps, and that included a presidential task force on equity, diversity, and inclusion. And then the second thing that was created was a student-only roundtable on confronting racism. And I wanted to hear from the students themselves and what they had to say about their experience, about what they wanted to see as being part of UMBC, and to ensure that, you know, that we make positive and meaningful and impactful next steps to, as I said, you ensure UMBC is a safe, welcoming, and inclusive campus, not only for those that are currently part of the UMBC community, but for those that are yet to come. And I think that's why I said the work is aspirational. It's never done, and we have to have the resolve to continue to move forward. Since that time, the task force, as well as the student roundtable, has met a number of times. And then also exciting is the passion within our university community. And there have been a number of groups that have formed independent out of the two that I've just mentioned. They have got together and have had conversations and discussions and their own ideas, and they have also reached out to me. So we're ensuring that as many voices are heard, and we're aligning the thoughts and ideas and moving that into concrete next steps. Some of those next concrete steps are I've committed to the creation of an Office of Equity Affairs. We haven't completely landed on the name, but we are moving forward on an office of that nature. A number of universities do have such an office. We did not here at UMBC, so we are creating that. We are moving forward on new supports for students to support them while they're here and being part of the UMBC community. We are going to be setting up a fund to support initiatives and ideas that come out of the task force. So the ideas that get mentioned and developed actually then have some resources to move to the next level. So there are tangible, concrete sort of actions. And then yet to be announced, I'm actually working on a letter right now as a follow-up out to the university community that should go out. I hope to this week, but we're still working on it. I'm still sort of crafting it, and it'll probably go out early next week, about a town hall, about a university engagement session to invite everybody from the university community to hear about not only what we're doing, but where we're going, and how we can continue this important dialogue that has to be more than dialogue. It has to have concrete actions and next steps that are absolutely demonstrated, that you can point to them, that we are making change for the better here at UMBC.
And have you had an opportunity to work with any groups, organizations, or individuals who are already kind of embedded in this anti-racism work? Is consultation with people who are already doing that work, already community-based, part of the process?
Yes. Obviously, through the opportunities I have as the university president, there's a number of organizations of which I've had the opportunity to listen and learn of what other universities are doing. Also out of the University of Toronto is the National Dialogue and Action to support equity, diversity, and inclusion and action around anti-racism. And so I've reached out to that group at the University of Toronto about UMBC becoming a partner. And there's that will be opportunity to, again, share what UMBC is doing, learn from others' resources, and see how we can, as I said, highlight what we're doing, learn from others, and continue to, as a country, move forward in confronting this important issue.
And what have been some of the barriers or challenges in kind of getting it off the ground or getting these conversations started?
I think some of the, I won't call them barriers. I will say, obviously, when you embark on this work, you want to make sure that you have the resources to actually make change, and it's not just words, and the words have to become action. So you have to be committed and continue to be committed on what we're trying to do. The other thing, and I heard this through my individual sort of conversations with with members of the university community, along with some of the initial conversations at the roundtable with the students and the task force and other groups, is there have been some extremely tough and negative experiences for people within our community, and we have to realize that. And it's hard for people to talk about that. And we have to ensure that the safe place of which we want to create here at UMBC, we have a safe place in those dialogues, so people are open to share, feel comfortable to share, and know that, you know, that they're being heard, because it is hard to relive some of those experiences. And we want to make sure that their words are not lost, and we take them and respect them, and as they move those words to action. The other thing is, you know, when you embark on initiatives of this scale at an institution, you know, although UMBC is a small university, it is still, you know, an undertaking to have new initiatives go forward. We want to make sure that when we start something, that we continue to make positive movement forward and not lose that momentum. It's very easy to, you know, to start something, as I said, and then, you know, when the champions for such an initiative move on or engage in other things, in order for us to make absolute demonstrated change at UMBC, we have to make sure that it lives beyond the champions. It lives within each of us, and it's important to each of us, regardless of where you are and who you are within our community, that we all have a role to play. And so ensuring that is embedded in the fabric of UMBC as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned a few times now moving from conversation and consultation to concrete action. What is the university's timeline, or maybe your ideal timeline personally, to kind of see those concrete examples of action being taken, whatever that might look like, come to light or come to fruition?
I mean, obviously, given the importance of this, I would like it yesterday, but you have to be realistic. You know, running alongside, of course, we're in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, and you know, so that is certainly having its own added layers of challenges. In terms of the timeline, when we started the task force and started our conversations, some of the ideas, like with the creation of the Office of Equity, Equity Affairs, Equity and Inclusion, as I said, we haven't come up with a name, but we are moving forward with that. That was new to UMBC, and we hope to have that in place by the end of February. In terms of extra student supports and supporting our BIPOC community here at UMBC, we're putting some concrete next steps around supports for that. So those are concrete actions that have come out of the dialogues we've had. And then the town hall that I mentioned is going to be, we're looking at the end of February, early March. We have a keynote speaker that we've been working with that will kick off that town hall. So that will start as well. And then we have to take those initial steps and see what we're doing, how we're doing it, assess it, evaluate it, and then continue to add from there. So in terms of a timeline, Kate, I mean, I would think the university community will see some concrete actions within the next 4 to 6 weeks that they can point to, that at least I hope that they can see some change happening. And then we will continue to move along that. And then we also have to ensure the work that we started to talk about, like the what's working in the Office of Research and as part of their action plan, gets embedded in what we're doing. And I do see going forward a mandate and a strategy to continue to ensure that the initial work and the dialogue that we began in the summer of 2020 becomes part of, as I said, the fabric and the ethos of UMBC being a safe, inclusive, and welcoming community.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, with the understanding that the more knowledge we have about the issue, the more informed our actions can be. Does UMBC keep demographic information for incoming students as well as graduating students?
You know, it's a great question, Kate. We've actually discussed that in terms of collecting that equity-based data. And one of our groups actually made a presentation about an initiative that they would like to start. I didn't mention it because we're not quite there to announce that yet, but we have had that discussion about how we collect the data, and then more importantly, how we use that data to make informed and evidence-based change in a supportive way. So yeah, we do collect some data, but we know that there's more data that we need to collect on sort of the incoming as well as the outgoing classes and students from UMBC.
And changing tacks just a little, on a personal level, what do you think about when you reflect on equity in academia and UNBC more specifically? And also, how do you contend with your own privileges in these spaces?
That's a great question. I mean, when I sent out the open letter to the community in the summer, I have heard the conversations, obviously, at the different tables that I've sat at during my tenure here at UMBC, and I've been here for almost 17 years. And so I know that there definitely needed to happen. I think upon personal reflection, Kate, in hearing the stories from people impacted me greatly. And I was saddened by some of the stories that I had heard and disappointed and shocked for that matter. And I won't get into the specifics for the confidentiality and to protect those that shared those stories with me. But that gave me the resolve that we need to make change on this campus. And change has to happen. And we have to do better for our university community. As I said, not only for those that are currently part of the UMBC community, but also for those yet to come. And then, you know, building upon your question about my own personal reflections, I've taken those reflections and I've tried to make change in and how I do things myself. I'm very cognizant of the language that I use and trying to ensure that, you know, that I, you know, that I'm walking the walk, that I am learning, and that learning is making change in me personally as I move forward. And then, you know, obviously being in the role as the president, supporting the voices and ideas and thoughts that I'm hearing as we move forward as a university community.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where can people find out more about equity, diversity, and inclusion? The research, the initiatives, and kind of what UNBC is working on. Where's the best source of information for that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a good question because I've had people come to me, okay, what's next? What are you doing? and so the next step will be that open letter to the university community, again, highlighting some of the things that have gone on at the task force as well as the student roundtable, and then as well as highlighting some of the other things that we've touched on this afternoon around the creation of the equity office and the town hall and that. Going forward, we are working on a sort of an information resource repository. We haven't quite decided where that is going to land or live, likely in the Office of Equity Affairs. And then we have to continue to highlight to the people where to find those resources. And then as we make some other sort of concrete actions, as I said, supporting students in that, the various different portfolios within the university's student affairs and the provost office and those, they'll have different aspects related to EDI. And that in itself will share the information, but then it will sort of lead up into a university-wide strategy around equity, diversity, and inclusion here at UMBC.
Okay, well, Dr. Payne, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I look forward to seeing how these conversations play out.
Absolutely, Kate. And, you know, in the future, we can have a follow-up conversation and talk about where we were today in our conversation and where we are in the future.
I would love that.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Take care.